You're listening to The Incomparable's Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play role-playing games on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 161, posted November 2018. The cultists aren't that flammable.
Welcome to Total Party Kill. I'm Monty Ashley, and I am the current Dungeon Master. This is part two of a short standalone adventure that I ran for Kathy Campbell, Kelly Gamont, Brian Hamilton, and Scott McNulty. It's almost entirely improvised.
Anybody got a flashlight?
We have fire and sticks.
For the record, Scott and Kathy both have dark vision.
Everyone who doesn't have dark vision probably has a torch and an adventurer's kit.
Yep. Or the ability to create light magically.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's light it up. At least those of us who can't naturally see in the dark.
I make a tiny little baby sacred flame in my hand.
Adorable. That's a cantrip, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm using spell slots for the sake of a joke. Yes, DM, that's totally what I would do.
I don't know how you live your life. Jokes are important. Remind me to tell you my theory about building suboptimal characters sometime.
I have a torch, so I'm going to go ahead and use a torch. I have many torches, but I'm going to use one now.
You have many torches, but this one is yours. You light a torch, and do you venture in?
Yep. Behind the dark vision, folks, because I want the dark vision people to be able to see and be able to warn us. And if we put them in first, then nobody will see the torches at first, and we'll have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
As you wish.
Tyla and Sizzle drop in front, and then Trader Vi and Jeff in back.
Yep.
All right. The tunnel starts out as dirt for like the first 20 feet, and then it's like you've broken through a wall, and it is you're in a stone basement. Like, this basement looks like it could have been from a city. Like, suddenly it's like this is thoroughly. I'm trying to avoid using the word man-made because that implies a race and a gender that didn't necessarily do it, but that's how English works, so I'm sorry.
Constructed.
Yeah. And there is a wooden door that's locked. Not locked, bar. There's a big bar.
Careful.
Big bar. All right.
I would like to try and lift. Sorry. I'd like to try to lift the bar up and open the door.
All right. Roll strength.
13. Is this working?
All right. It opens.
It works.
Tyla, any chance we can send you through the door first?
Uh huh.
All right. Let us know what you see.
So Tyla sneaks around the edge.
Oh, you open the door?
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right, because it...
I'm going to have to ask you to take 3 points of poison damage.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there was a nasty little needle in that doorknob.
Ruh-roh. Thanks, Trader Vi.
This is an important D&D lesson, that you should search doors for traps before you open them.
But the door is now open.
And not trapped anymore.
Yay.
Maybe it is. Try the doorknob again. So Tyla is taking the lead. I will remind you, you are a rogue, so you probably could sneak in some way if you wanted to.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea. Let's try sneaking into the room.
Okay. It is a hallway. It's wallpapered. There's paintings on the wall. And there is a smell of cinnamon. It's pretty homey.
It smells like Christmas.
I wish I could have added cinnamon to the dish. Dang it.
Do we need to examine the hallway for further booby trapping?
You don't need to.
We'll let the dead bird go first.
And if you progress down the hallway, there are two doors on the left and eventually another door at the end.
This one I would like to roll to investigation to see if there's another booby trap.
Okay.
That's a 2.
Yeah, this looks fine. That right there, that's a doorknob.
Great, I turn it. Because I'm staying in character.
No, it's fine. You open the door, and there is a large room with a fiery pit in the middle.
Wait, so the doorknob actually was fine?
Yeah.
Cool.
Look, man, our lair is underneath a giant foot hidden by a secret door, and then we trapped the first doorknob. We can't trap every doorknob. People have to come in and out these things. That's not practical.
Wow, thanks, omnipotent voice who's telling us the secrets of this cult.
Not a very secretive cult, really. Like, they introduced themselves to you as soon as you got off the That's wagon.
True. And they have rather loud pants.
That is true.
Large room. Big, fiery pit in the middle.
Which door is this? The first one on the
second
left?
Second door.
Second door.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's nobody in the room, it seems?
Nope.
Are there any exits in the room?
No.
Hmm.
This room no longer feels like it's part of a constructed building. Like, this seems to have been hollowed out from the hillside. And it smells like sulfur, not cinnamon in here.
What other doors were there before this one?
There was one other door on the left and one door at the end of the hallway. And the door you came through.
Okay, let's close this door and pretend we weren't here so that all the evidence is gone and all burned up, I guess. Maybe? I don't know. And we close this door. And then where do you think we should go next, guys?
I'm going to roll investigation on the door next to the fiery pit.
Okay.
Da 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 da. 22.
This door does not have a trap on it and has very rarely been opened. Like, there's enough dust on this knob to tell you it's not an actively used doorknob.
Let's see if there's anything in this room that I might be able to borrow. So Tyler opens the door.
All right. There is nothing but blackness inside.
Blackness that I can't see through with my dark vision?
That's right.
Okay. Let's close the door again.
Okay.
Not being able to see that is nerve-wracking.
Well, I'm going to go to the door at the end of the hallway and investigate it. 15.
This door is trapped. It looks like if you turn it one direction clockwise, something will happen and you're not sure what. But if you turn it counterclockwise, whatever mechanism in there should not trigger.
Okay.
So now that we've done the requisite total party kill door investigation, what would we like to do?
I'd like to open the door counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise.
And see what's up. So I open the door.
All right. You carefully turn the knob and open the door and look inside, and there is a guy in there. He's standing in front of what looks like an altar of some sort. Like, you're not sure it's an altar, but it's like got a big statue of something with too many horns and mouths and tongues and ears. And that's usually an altar. Plus, this guy is dressed weird with like a giant skull of a different animal on top of his head, like as a hat. And he's chanting something in. Do any of you speak primordial?
Nope.
Let me check. Probably not. No.
He's chanting something in a language that you probably don't even know what it is, and he's waving around a real cool looking dagger that looks like a snake. Like, the pommel is a snake head, and then it goes, the snake body is the handle, and then it's a kris knife, so it's one of those ones that like wiggles back and forth until it's a great big point. And he's chanting in this weird language and waving this dagger around.
Looks preoccupied. What do you say we close the door and pretend we weren't here and go in the other door?
Hey, Brian?
Yes?
I would like you to roll stealth.
All right.
And I'm going to roll perception over here. Well, I'm going to go with passive perception.
That's a 4.
He breaks off, turns, and stares.
Yes, he give us all a good thank
you. He looks preoccupied. What do you say we close the... Oh, God. Hey.
No, it's okay, it's okay. Listen. No. Shh. Hey, buddy, calm down. I'm rolling persuasion. I got it in 11. Calm down. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Okay? No, we're not here to hurt you. We're just here to...
A large sword appears, like a 6-foot... No, not a sword. Something that looks like this dagger appears between you guys. It's like 6 feet long and hovering and roll initiative.
So I know critical fails aren't technically a thing for initiative, but I got a 1 and okay. I have a -1. So technically a 0.
Okay, well... You'll be going extra last then. And that's a shame because you are now being attacked by a spiritual weapon.
Ooh. Chain rattle.
You got a chain rattle, Scott?
I don't.
Oh, no.
You have Elliot Catlin saying chain rattle.
I have a rope twirl.
I guess I was picturing you as one of those Halloween sound effects CDs.
That's fair.
All right, so this spiritual weapon here attacks... Oh, geez, I roll great. I don't suppose a 5 hits?
So, hang on. I have Warding Flare, which is a reaction.
Okay.
When I receive a melee attack, I throw up my hand in a distracting manner and create a small flash of light. The attacking creature has disadvantage on the triggering attack. An attacker is immune to this effect if it does not rely on sight. I believe it is. Yeah.
Okay, well, I rolled a 2, but now that I have disadvantage, I can report that it's still a 2.
Cool.
So this dagger just stabs down at you, and Jeff raises his hand. There's a flash of light of... holy light of some sort, and the dagger misses, and this cultist fanatic is just, and he's got his cool looking dagger, and he's standing at some kind of stone table, and it is Kathy's turn. Kathy, what do you do?
Can I, try and hit him on the back of the head and knock him out?
He is on the other side of the room, so he's okay. 20, 25 feet away. You could run over there and try to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to... Oh, wait, no, just kidding. I forgot I have my short bow. I would like to try and shoot him with an arrow.
Okay.
17.
That will hit him. How much damage would you like to do?
6.
All right. You pull out your bow and twing, and the arrow shoots into him and sticks into his shoulder, and he doesn't even notice.
Ruh-roh.
Kelly?
This looks bad. Okay. So I'm going to go with, I'm looking, Monty, I'm going to need an assist here. I don't know that I have a spell. Anything that I can... Well, I don't know that I have, really any spells, so I don't think I have any magic I can really do here.
No, your move is pretty much run in there and start beating him up.
Okay, so I'm going to do the lightning...
Oh, yeah.
The lightning thing you told me I can do?
Yes.
I'm going to do that with... but while I am doing that, I am going to wave my short sword in a menacing manner.
All right, so Trader Vi... pulls out her short sword, waves it in the air, and shouts menacingly, and then calls upon her draconic heritage and breathes fire at this poor jerk, breathes lightning at this poor jerk, and just lightning shoots out of her mouth and strikes this guy. And you get half damage.
2. Okay, so 5... and 3.
He rolled an 8. He gets half damage, so he takes 4 damage. And he's now slightly electrified. Like, his hair is standing up, and there's sparks coming off the tip of his dagger. But also, you're slightly electrified, and, like, sparks can be seen in your eyes and, like, connecting your fingers like a Jacob's ladder. But he is still not noticeably injured from these attacks.
Ah!
Scott, you are up.
Mr. Sprinkles, boys and girls. Hello, Mr. Sprinkles.
And then I will do the old chill touch again, which is the skeletal hand. Let's see what happens. 20?
That'll probably hit. It does.
Oh, good. It takes 6 points of necrotic damage.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if he regenerates, but if he can't, he can't regain hit points until the start of my next turn.
All right. Good heavens, you guys have done some damage to this poor dope.
He's not very nice.
He's going to once again attack Brian with this spiritual weapon. That first thing was a surprise attack.
Ching! Yeah. Reaction spell thing.
Okay, and remind me what that does again, because he has rolled a... disadvantage.
Yes.
Right. Oof. All right, he has a 5 to hit.
That misses.
Okay, Brian, I believe we are up to you.
I would like to guide some bolts into him with a guiding bolt.
All right. Give it a try. See how lucky you are.
That is a 14.
Ah, you hit him and his stupid AC of 13.
Yay! that is 4d6 radiant damage.
Good God, man.
Let me roll a bunch of these little cubes. Here's some foley. That is 9 radiant damage, and the next attack roll made against this target before the end of my next turn has advantage. So the next person that attacks this boy gets advantage.
That's Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, it's your turn.
You get advantage.
Hey.
Yes, but my bow didn't do anything.
It did something. It just didn't kill him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's still an arrow sticking out of his chest.
True.
He used to be an adventurer before he took an arrow to the chest.
I guess we'll try shooting him another. Let's shoot another one. Ooh, 7.
Well, you have advantage, so roll again. Let's see if you do better with that one.
Well, yes, I did better. It's still only an 8.
All right. This arrow goes wide and sticks into the giant statue behind him in exactly the same place. So now there's this arrow sticking out of this guy's chest and an arrow sticking out of the statue's chest. Ooh. Kelly.
Okay. So I think I'm going to have to just go for it. Now this says I have unarmed strike as an action I can take.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to do that.
All right, you're going to run over to him and
clap him in the face.
All right, poke him in the snoot. Here we go.
So that was 12, so 16.
You hit him.
6.
All right. You punch him in the nose. His skull headpiece thing flies off. And you hear the sickening crunch of his nose breaking under your hand. And there's just this explosion of blood. He staggers back. He's still standing up. But you have a bonus attack if you want to take it.
Oh, I do.
All right.
8.
Even with your +4, I'm afraid that does not hit.
Oh.
Again.
Once again, I'm not great with the follow-up.
You go for a spin
kick.
You
get so excited.
He's staggering around kind of unpredictably.
So he inadvertently dodges me.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
He's not doing well. Scott?
I'm going to do the same thing again.
Nice.
Say hi to your mom for me.
And I hit him with a 23, and he takes 7 points of necrotic damage as this skeletal hand continues to sap his life away.
And what does the hand do? Like, does it, like, just reach down and grab him, or...
Well, it's still, it was still on his shoulder from the previous one, so it just kind of squeezes a little bit.
And he screams, and it's hard to tell how, but you know that this is a scream in common rather than a primordial scream. Like, this is his native language. And the skeletal hand, the fingers get, like, dig into his shoulder and go all the way into his chest. And he drops. And the dagger falls out of his hand and rolls away.
I go pick up the dagger.
Oh, man.
Well, that's a nice dagger.
I mean, you can have it, but I just want to... I just want to look at it in the context of some of my clerical learnings and see if maybe I can...
Okay, roll religion.
Okay. Yes, that is an 11.
This is a... Like, you don't know the details of these idiots' specific religion, but it's definitely a sacrificial dagger of some sort. Like, it's probably been tuned to some unearthly frequency or something. Also, the pommel where the snake's head is got cool little red gem eyes.
Ooh.
Well, this is a sacrificial dagger. Trader Vi, I'm ready to sacrifice it to you if you want.
Yeah. I think I'll hold on to this for the time being.
And it's yours.
All right. And since it's a sacrificial dagger, and he had it in his hand like he was fixing to use it, I kind of feel like we may have stumbled into mid-sacrifice. So maybe we need to see if we can figure out where the rest of them are and what exactly it is that they're up to. Because I still don't think we've found anybody who ranks high enough for us to pretend to apologize to. So we need to keep going.
Oh, crap. We could have apologized to him and walked away. Oh, darn.
It's all right. It's all right, Jeff. It's the first time you've had to destroy a cult. I understand.
It's so hard. How do you do it?
Well, one at a time. And we've got one down now. So we just got to keep doing that. So we need to figure out where we are and see what we can do about getting to where the rest of them are. Because we got to find somebody we can apologize to give us a note or something to take back to the mayor.
I would like Tyla to check the body to see if there's any goodies.
You're checking the cult fanatic's body?
Yes.
Give me an investigation check.
23.
Oh. The pants are the same kind of pants that the other cultists had, and you realize that they're just painted. They're not that nice. The nice thing he has are the shoes that they have a very good grippy sole. Like, these shoes might be worth something, and he has a ring with a big gaudy gem on it.
I like gaudy, and so I will take the gaudy ring and the fancy shoes.
All right. And he had a beard. Do you want his beard?
Is it attached or?
Yes, it's growing out of his face.
Okay. I mean, I'm just checking. No. He may keep the beard.
Cults are weird. You never know.
Can we look at the altar?
Sure. The altar is on the opposite side of the room where you came in. Like I say, there was a big statue on the wall with a lot of extra, like, facial features. And then there's a stone table in front of it that he was standing in front of. He was facing the wall and away from the door when you came in. If you wish, you can investigate the stone table and or the statue more closely.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Everybody go ahead and roll. And I assume you're all looking around.
Oof.
I got a 16.
I got a 7. Apparently, I used up all my investigation on the body.
9.
Trader Vi has 17.
Oh, I like the way you announced that. It's cool. The stone table has a catch on it that looks like it will cause something to happen. Like, there's a lever underneath the lip.
Who found it?
Trader Vi and Sizzle Drop both saw it at exactly the same time.
All right. So, Sizzle Drop, how about you take a look in? How about you take a look in while I hit the lever? You'll be able to see if it's dark.
As you wish.
Okay. So I have to roll again, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Are you hitting the lever?
I'm hitting the lever.
The statue falls backwards, revealing a black silhouette where it used to be. And on the other side of that silhouette is a room that looks exactly like this one, except that it has a living cult dude in it and not you guys.
Is it the same cult dude as before?
No, this one's alive and angry, and he lunges forward and attacks you.
Ah!
No!
Just who the hell are you?
And now we're back in combat again.
No, that was so fast.
So everybody was looking around the table? I'm going to attack Brian.
It's probably a good choice.
I feel like the cultists are picking on me because I don't have a god yet.
You were the first one to kill somebody. You burned up that first cult dude back in the bar.
Okay, only a little. And they couldn't have known that.
He lunges through the statue-shaped hole in the wall and tries to stick his hand onto your face.
Is that considered a melee weapon for the sake of warding flame?
It's a melee attack.
Melee attack. Great. Yeah, that makes sense. So they get disadvantage on it.
All right. I have some bad news about how well I finally rolled.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
This is a spell entitled Inflict Wounds. And if you were here in person, you would see me picking up 3d10.
Wow.
That is too many d10.
I'm going to do 8 points of necrotic damage to you.
I am bloody AF.
Are you still standing?
Barely.
Okay.
Even with disadvantage? Wow.
Yes. You will eventually get some damage in this game.
What? No.
So you saw this guy who looks exactly like the guy you just dealt with a cool hat and everything, lunging over and his hand just coruscating with black energy. And he shoves it right on your face as you're like backing off and waving your hands and like trying to distract him with warding flame. Just blah, blah. And then he pulls it away, and there's still a mark of his hand on your face as you're coughing. And what do you do?
I back off a little bit.
Is that your entire action?
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we were starting from the top of the order. Okay.
Not deal with it.
Through tears and blood on my face, I grab my mace. That rhymed. That was unintentional. I am so sorry.
When they sing songs about this, that's...
And that's the whole reason I'm here. So thanks for the inspiration, Jeff.
Of course. That's a 7 versus AC.
All right. So because you can't see him, you're staggering back, you just kind of wildly swing your mace and miss him.
Does that like swing it all around?
Kathy?
I am going to, since I'm over by the other dead guy, I'm going to pull out my bow and arrow and shoot at, not Jeff, at the twin. And, 25.
Oh, well, that will hit him.
Yes.
Goodness. Was that a natural 20?
Yeah, actually, because I had plus 5. 14.
Oh. This arrow is sticking out of his eye. It didn't go all the way in, so he's still moving around. But you definitely got him in the eye, and he's going to have disadvantage on his next attack.
Is the eye moving? Or is the arrow moving around as he's moving his eye around?
No.
Okay, good.
His ocular muscles are not strong enough to move an eye and an arrow.
Ooh,
You have to train for that sort of thing.
Don't mess with Jeff. Ooh.
I don't want to trade for that.
Kelly?
I don't know what my options are aside from the short sword, so I think I'm going...
Well, there's the hand axe plus unarmed, or you can attack with the short sword. Hand axe plus unarmed is better.
I'm doing that, yeah. Hand axe and unarmed. I forgot
about that. You guys are only level one, so you probably don't have too many good options, so you're going to find yourself doing the same thing a few times.
Hand axe. Here we go. Okay, so I rolled a 19, so 23.
You hit him. Roll a d6 and add 2 for your hand axe damage.
7.
All right. And now you can take a follow-up unarmed attack as you jump over, okay, like, as you're in the air.
That is 16.
That hits.
Hooray!
And I roll a d4 and add 2.
All right. 4.
All right. So this time you work as designed. You like explode into action, jump over and like dig an axe into him and like go up into a flip and then come around, like hit him in the back of the head with your heel. And as he staggers forward, you land behind him in a cool combat pose. Cha. Scott.
How far away is he from me?
About 10 feet.
That's too close. I will move back far as I can. And then...
If they touch you, it's going to be most unpleasant.
A skeletal hand appears and attempts to touch
Skeletor
him.
Hand.
Yes. For 13.
That will hit.
Oh, then he takes 8 points of necrotic damage.
Oh, matters. No. Now this guy's dead, too.
Oh, dear.
And he's standing there with his cool dagger in hand, with an axe sticking out of his shoulder and an arrow sticking out of his eye and a skeletal hand gripping him by the throat. And he just gently falls forward and thud. A little cloud of dust.
Is it possible to pull the arrow out to reuse?
Sure.
Okay. I would like to collect my arrows.
And you rolled a critical. I don't want to, like, this is your lucky arrow now.
Yes.
I am at 2 hit points right now, so Jeff is panting.
Nobody said that apologizing would be so easy.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
All right. Anybody else want to take a good look at the body and see if there's anything else of use on this dude?
Oh, yes, I will totally investigate with the 19.
Hey!
He is identical in every way to the other guy. Same nice shoes with the grippy soles, same gaudy ring.
Wait, I now have 2 rings and 2 pairs of shoes.
Does this room have an altar?
Yes.
Is it the same altar as the other room?
Looks like it.
Well, cool. And is there a door in this room?
No.
Okay.
Does anyone have anything medical related to maybe help Jeff?
I mean, I can just cast healing word on myself. I mean, metagaming. I'm not supposed to be metagaming. I'm Jeff. I can heal myself. It's okay. No one needs to heal me. I can heal myself with a spell I learned in class.
Oakley doakley doo.
I'm very worried for my cousin.
Monty, can you cast healing word on yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's healing somebody else.
I mean, that's okay. I'll just play it a little safe in our next... if we meet any more baddies, I'll just play it a little safe. And when we take a rest that is a little bit short, then I will spend my... I'll do a hit die.
Now I've looked up further. You decide, although you were told in class, healing word can only be used on other people because it creates a sense of generosity and giving, which is important for the proper cleric mindset. You think, maybe I'm just going to try it on myself just to see.
Listen, self-care is really important, and I really practice self-care.
And it works.
Sweet, I got 7 points of health back. Oh, I'm feeling so much better, everyone.
Yay! I'm so glad, Jeff. um, real quick, the poison, did it just give me those three negative hit points, or like, is it wearing down over time or anything?
Nah, it's not doing anything else for now.
Okay.
It's not fancy poison.
Just check.
What do you say we go back and open the door in the main hallway?
Or maybe check for another lever, like the one on the altar in the previous room?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, we should examine this room a little more closely, I think.
Ooh, I only rolled a 5 on to investigate the table, so, or the altar, so.
The other altar does have the same lever as this one, but other than that, it just seems like a table.
I rolled a 15 on investigating.
Well, it's also got some bloodstains and suspicious-looking grooves. And there's kind of a grate underneath it where things can sluice off.
Yeah, it's just okay.
You know, standard altar.
Regular altar stuff. Okay.
I will flip the switch.
The statue jumps back up.
The statue in the other...
Yeah, the lever's going to affect the same statue between the rooms, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we came through the statue hole, so now we're shut into the room.
Okay.
Right. The second room.
And the second room does not have any doors.
Okay. I'm going to look and see if I can find any secret doors with a 17 investigate.
Nope.
Okay. I flip the switch again.
Statue goes down.
All right.
It is an enormous secret door.
What do you say we open the door in the main hallway this time and you listen to me this time, huh?
Okay, Yoda.
But if it'll really make you happy to stand in the dark, Jeff.
I guess we can go into the darkness of Darkington and...
The darkness on the edge of town, yes.
The heart of darkness.
Yes, deep into the heart of darkness.
All right. Let's take a shot. The rest of us, there are others who do not have night vision who have torches. So,
yeah, let's try the torch.
Okay, so you go back to that door and open it up again?
Yes.
All right. As you look through the doorway, it is just blackness.
Can I roll religion or something, or arcana maybe, to see if this is some sort of darkness spell of some sort?
Sure.
Arcana, that's a 5. I'm rolling terribly today.
Yeah, you are.
This could be magic. I mean, magic does a lot of stuff, right? I don't know.
This could be magic. I mean, magic does a lot of stuff, right? I don't know.
Is that where they have the diseased bear jamboree?
That explains why it's so well lit. Okay, so I'm going to... examine the, well, I guess I don't need to examine the doorway, but I'm going to stick my torch into the room a little bit and see what happens.
Your hand will not go past the doorway. As you stick the torch in, you discover that what you took to be blackness is, in fact, a painted black wall.
What did I tell you? Magic.
Acme black hole.
At this point, have we opened all the doors?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, let's pretend we're in a parsley game now. There is something we can do to one of the things in this place that will move the plot forward.
So we have the sulfur fiery pit and a black wall.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to go take a better look at the fire pit.
Unless we could, like, do something to the wall.
Oh, there could be a secret door, but I think we should probably just go into the actual door that we haven't gone in yet, which is the fiery pit, and see what's in
there. The fiery room.
Yeah, let's investigate the fiery pit.
All right. Fiery pit, here we come.
Okay, you go into that room. That room does, like I say, does not look like it's like constructed. It looks like it's just been hollowed out of the earth, which is kind of jarring since you're opening a door in what feels like a normal wallpapered hallway. You open the door and now you're just in a big cave room. And in the middle, there is a 10-foot wide pit with flames coming out of it.
And there are no other doors that we can see or entrances or exits.
That's correct.
Can I roll Arcana on this fire pit to see if it's magic somehow?
Are you going up to look at it?
No.
Then sure, but
I got a 10.
So that pit over there, there might be something magical about it. It feels weird.
I will approach the pit.
All right. The pit is deeper. Once you look at it, it looks kind of like a pit to hell. Like, it goes down pretty far. And those flames, now that you realize you're only seeing the top of a deep pit, those are big flames. Like, this is a very deep pit with a lot of fire in it. And roll an investigation.
All right. 7.
That's all.
This is a deep pit.
It's got a pit. It smells pretty bad.
Well, I'll walk around the pit.
Is this the center of the room?
Yes.
So we're all sort of walking around the edge?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're all investigating, I will say eventually someone is going to notice a glint of gold from down inside the pit.
How far down?
Down at the bottom, like 25, 30 feet. But not gold the metal, gold the fabric.
Okay.
Like some pants we might have seen before.
Yeah, on cultists. There's at least like 14 cultists down there.
Is it cultists or is it what's left of the cultists?
Yeah, it's corpses, to be fair.
Cultist corpses.
I mean, they had the gold pants, so probably cultists.
Are there any, like, buttons or triggers or something in the room?
No.
Okay.
I think this is where they threw the people they just didn't like. Which makes me sad. No one should be treated like this.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Apparently not this, I guess.
Right. Well, if we've got what's left of them at the bottom of this pit, they were tossed in here for some reason, some way. So did they come out of the hallway into this and tossed into this pit? Did they toss them from someplace else? Are they coming from the ceiling? They're throwing them off the second floor and down into the pit of fire?
Give me an investigation roll.
All right. 16.
There's nothing on the ceiling.
Uh-oh.
Leave it to me to spin up a theory that doesn't get me anywhere. Okay.
I like
So could we, did you say that this room is worked earth, right? So it's the floor is dirt. Is that right?
Yes.
Could we look and see if there are tracks other than our own to see if it's been used and if we can, where people came in or?
Well, sure. Mostly it looks like people were walking. The main path is directly between the pit and the doorway. Mostly walking, probably some dragging and struggling.
Okay.
And a couple of points where, now that you look at it, somebody may have gotten away and run to the other side of the pit and were like, then chased down.
Only to be tossed into the pit on that side instead.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We have special grippy shoes. So can we climb down?
Try putting on a pair? Let's see what you can do with your grippy soles.
It's going to be really hot down there, though.
Well, those guys managed to survive it. If they're wearing the grippy shoes, they needed to be somewhere where the grippy soles would be helpful to them.
The guys at the bottom of the pit did not survive it.
Yeah.
The cultists we got the shoes from were wearing grippy-soled shoes for a reason.
Right, but I don't think it actually has anything to do with the fiery pit of hell.
Fiery pit of fire. Okay.
There's got to be something with the other wall, maybe.
It doesn't look like any... Well, did we look at this room all the way around?
Yeah, you've been in here long enough that you've investigated it. This is just a room that has been dug out and has a big pit full of fire. It's not clear where the fire's coming from. Like, the cultists aren't that flammable.
Well, and the cultists are, their bodies are still, they're not burnt.
Oh, they're burnt.
Okay. The gold pants, fancy pants don't burn?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting.
Turns out those are pretty good pants.
I'm starting to think we may need to huff back out into the hallway and give that another good long look, because we've checked out the three doors we can see. Is it possible there's another?
Or the ceiling? Can we check the ceiling in the hallway?
The ceiling in the hallway is also just a ceiling.
Okay.
Could we search along the walls and see if we can find some sort of hidden door?
Sure. There is, eventually, one more door on the right side of the wall if those two doors were on the left. Like in the middle of the right wall.
A secret door?
It is cunningly concealed behind one of the paintings.
Did our bird friend just make the sound of opening a door as we're about to open a door? Wow.
Shut up, boo.
Well, can we see inside this one? Or do we need to send Tyla first with dark vision?
We should probably investigate the door first.
This is very true. I am for investigating the door.
All right. Go ahead and roll.
14.
This door, the way you open it is from a catch on the back of one of the paintings. The catch does not appear to be trapped. But it looks like it's going to swing the whole painting out because you can find hinges on the other side of the painting.
Oh, okay.
What is the painting of?
Mustachioed man in a bright yellow uniform that does not look like any uniform you've ever seen. Like, even the style is weird. Like, nobody has giant pointed shoulder armor like that. And he's on a horse on top of a hill.
A horse or a pony, just to clarify.
Horse.
Does he look like Teddy Roosevelt?
Kind of.
So does he look like Wario?
Who's that?
Okay.
Okay.
He's got the mustache and the yellow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to stealthy in. Yes. 22.
That's for what? Opening the door?
For sneaking.
All right. Yeah. You carefully pull the latch up and there's a very quiet click. And you ease it open, and you glance inside, just like sticking your head in, and what you see is a bunch of cots, like 30 or 40 cots, just filling this room.
Hey, guys, there's just a bunch of cots.
Nobody tell Micah. He's going to investigate all of them.
So I guess I'll go into the room.
All right. It looks like this is where the cult sleeps.
And there's no doors or anything?
That's the only door.
Okay.
There are a couple of sacks here and there and a clothesline with three tunics and three gold pants. Kind of drying up there.
I absolutely take one of the gold pants.
Okay. As do I.
And I'm also going to investigate the sacks to see what else I could find.
This is kind of sad garbage. There's a letter from home from somebody saying just, please, Tommy, please come home. Please, we miss you. We don't care about the argument. You can come home anytime you want. And you can see it's like been folded and unfolded a lot, like somebody had read it a lot. And then in another sack, there's like a worn pair of socks and there's a deck of cards. There's nothing.
Well, I definitely take the cards with me.
So there's just kind of a few personal items. You can tell that this is where all the cult members slept. This is kind of the extent of their headquarters.
Maybe this is where we can leave a apology note and then we can get the heck out of here?
I have a better idea. Why don't we put on the three uniforms we found hanging up here and then we can go wherever we want and it won't matter if anybody sees us. Then we can track down somebody to get an apology from.
The problem is I don't know where else to go.
Yeah, I like that plan, but I don't know where we can go with the uniforms.
Can we take the uniforms movie back to the mayor and say, look, they made us honorary members of the culting thing, so everything's cool.
Can we see if this has been like recently used or if it's been empty for a while?
Very recently used. Like, there were people sleeping in here this morning, although not all of the cots. Like, the cots nearest the door have been very recently used, and then they kind of get less recently used as you go back.
So, like, their membership has...
Has dropped.
Yeah.
Their membership has dropped into a pit.
That's right. Can we make a guesstimate as to how many people have used this recently?
Sure. It looks like probably around 20 is the most current number of...
Well, we certainly haven't seen 20 people.
Yeah.
There must be more places for them to hang out.
How many people did I say were in that pit?
14.
Okay.
So we've seen 14, unless they... Rapidly. Maybe they're very bad at managing their numbers.
Well, and the two we've killed.
And the two we got is 16. So there's still four more running around.
Unless we count the three in town.
The three we killed before, so that's 19.
Oh, that's true.
So we may have killed all the cultists. Well, they killed more than us, to be fair.
Yeah. Well?
Can we search in here for secret doors, just in case?
Oh, sure. You guys all go around, kind of like check each cot, like pick it up and shake it and poke at the walls. And nope, this is just kind of a sad place for cultists to sleep and eventually get thrown into a pit across the hall or something.
Is that your final answer?
I want to know about Sizzle Drop's life.
That's very interesting.
I wonder if at this point we should head back to town, and maybe at this point we've killed all the cultists and there's no one left to apologize to.
Well, there are no more cultists. Well, let's count them up. There were three in town, and there were
ten.
And there were two. So there were the three we took care of in town and the two we took care of here. That's five. And if there were 14 at the bottom of the pit, that's 19, which means there's one left. Exactly, Sizzle Drop. And so far, we've seen no trace of number 20, who might be number one. Maybe he decided he was done with the cult and has fled. Which still looks good for us. Who all votes that we take the uniforms back to town and see if we can convince the mayor?
I raise my hand.
Yeah.
As you wish.
Let's do that.
All right. Anybody, before we leave, is anybody a little bit bothered that we're short a cultist?
Let's not bicker and argue about who killed who.
At the very least, there's only one of them, so I think we should be okay.
Scott has weaponized Holy Grail quotes, already an essential element of playing D&D.
Congratulations, he's only 10 years behind the rest of the internet.
All right, so you guys grabbing those uniforms and leaving?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. As you walk up the tunnel that goes up to under the foot, the light is kind of blinding because you've been going around by torchlight for a while. You step out onto that hill and the sunlight is right in your eyes, and you blink, and for a moment, you're in the middle of a giant city. The trees are all gone. There's a huge castle 20 feet in front of you, and you look up, and that giant statue that used to be only up to the knee is now all the way up to the clouds, and it's holding it's got a huge mustache, and it's wearing a yellow uniform with weird pointed shoulders. And it's holding up the severed head of Traitor Vi. And then you blink again and you're back in the woods.
dude.
I wasn't the only one who saw that, was I? I wasn't.
No, I don't think so.
Whoa.
Did anyone else see that and think that it was their head?
Good grief. Pogo stick.
I have bad news, Vi. It was your head.
Did we all just see me? Okay.
But you have a statue of your face.
And I'm ending it here. That wraps up my short palate cleanser of an adventure, but stay tuned to Total Party Kill. Next week, Dan Morin is back to DM the Dog and Pony Show, which is also called Death House and possibly Forge of Fury. Bye!